Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and we have been discussing Clay's foray into the mask, anti-mask revolution yesterday in Tennessee. But as we know, there's been a lot of pushback at school board meetings stretching back for months now, and it really began with the pushback against CRT, or critical race theory. Now, if you've paid attention to the Democrat response to our rebellion against the racial underpinnings of CRT indoctrination and all, if you've listened to the way the Democrats try to set all this up, you would say, hold on a second. They change every few weeks. At first, it was there is no CRT in schools. And then it was, you don't know what CRT is. You're not allowed to criticize it. And then it was, CRT is actually history, which is just a lie. But these are all either misdirections or outright fabrications or falsehoods. This is going on now in schools across the country. They say it's no big deal. They say it's not happening. They say you don't know what it is. They say it's something other than what it is. You picking up a pattern? They're running scared from this one because they've gotten away for a long time with indoctrinating your kids, with teaching your children that their skin color, and we had all thought, right, that we're in a country now, we understood skin color has no bearing on who you are or your worth or your merit or your skill or anything, right? We thought we were trying to be in a totally equal country, a meritocracy where skin color doesn't matter, just the content of your character. But that's not what CRT teaches. And one teacher yesterday at the Loudoun County Public School board meeting decided that she had had enough. And so she resigned. Laura Morris, a fifth grade teacher in down in Virginia at Loudoun County Public Schools, she gave an emotional appeal to people. Want to play this one for you.
After reading about your lack of consideration for the growing population of concerned citizens in this division, clearly evidenced by this empty room tonight where you shut the doors to the public, as well as the emails sent by the superintendent last year, reminding me that a dissenting opinion is not allowed even to be spoken in my personal life, going so far as to send a form to my colleagues and I, encouraging us to fill it out if we hear one another speaking against the controversial policies being promoted by this school board and adopted in this county.
Clay, there's more, and we want to get to the other part of where she gets really emotional, but can we just jump in here for a second together to weigh in on how she's supposed to snitch? I mean, if you hear people opposing this, they're sending forms. What is this all about? I mean, this really sounds like some crazy Bolshevik nonsense.
I think what we are seeing, and this is big picture. Obviously, this woman, I applaud her, this fifth grade teacher, for speaking out in the same way that I would applaud anybody who is showing up to their local school boards, the grassroots of democracy. I think this is the new Tea Party movement. Now, you can argue that the Tea Party matters more now than ever before because of the budgetary crisis that we may well find ourselves in, the $1.9 trillion COVID that Joe Biden passed, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure, the $3.5 trillion budget bill that's out there. This is a great line. You know, you start talking about $1 billion every now and then they add up. Well, now we're talking about trillions of dollars and they add up in a hurry. And I think what's going on is there is a innate feeling, and I know many of you listening to us right now feel it, that something is rotten, right? Hamlet, something was rotten in Denmark. Something is rotten in America. And I think at the foundational level, many people are circling back to public schools, Buck. And they're seeing it with CRT, and they're seeing it with mask mandates, and they're seeing it with what kids are being instructed, and they're realizing that the rottenness is coming out of what is their taxpayer-funded schools, and people are fed up.
I mean, they're teaching essentially racial Marxism, right? So Marx is all about class warfare and all about taking people based upon where they are in an economic sense and turning them against each other for the elevation of a revolutionary elite, You know, the kind of revolutionary elite that has big parties in fancy places where they don't have to obey the rules, right? I mean, you know, and the people who show up at those kinds of parties. But instead of it being class-based, we have one that is now increasingly based on notions of the fight against white supremacy and the oppression of non-white minorities. And that's all at the heart of CRT. And I do give credit to those who say that really CRT is just the everything is racist ideology.
That's right.
Which
it is.
In the 1990s, we just referred to this as PC.
That's
great,
right.
Great movie, which I'm sure Clay and I didn't. Which, I'm sure, yes. You've seen PCU, right? Of
yeah,
course.
And it seemed like it was a satire that would be impossible to ever become a reality. And it's now like a, it's not even like
you couldn't,
it's so surpassed.
You couldn't make PCU
yes.
today because that's how PC the broader society has gotten. So.
You couldn't make most great comedies. I was talking about this, Buck, with my wife the other day, like old school. You couldn't
never.
Make old school now.
Never. Oh my gosh, you couldn't make There's Something About Mary. I don't even know if you can get away with the 40-year-old virgin. I don't know if you can. I mean, never mind. You go back to like Blazing Saddles. I mean, you go back further.
Even crazier. But I mean, like the Ace Ventura movie. Go watch Ace Ventura again.
By the way,
we're
one of the teachers that we're going to talk about here in a second got into trouble for just saying, I'm not going to use the preferred pronoun thing. And the preferred pronoun thing, for anyone who's wondering how absurd that has gotten now, it is now an expectation. And there are teachers who are leftists, who have put out videos that you have to adjust on a day-to-day basis, pronoun usage, almost like the weather. You know, today I feel they, them.
Today
tomorrow
I'm a boy.
I feel she, her. And if people who don't abide by this, they're transphobic, Clay. They're transphobic. They're scary. They're horrible. They're bad people who don't. But this is where we are. But let me just bring us back to this teacher in Virginia for a second. Loudoun County Public School teacher. Well, formerly now, because she says she has had enough. This is Laura Morris. And she got emotional about this one.
Within the last year, I was told in one of my so-called equity trainings that white, Christian, able-bodied females currently have the power in our schools, and that, quote, this has to change. Clearly, you've made your point. You no longer value me or many other teachers you've employed in this county. So since my contract outlines the power that you have over my employment in Loudoun County Public Schools, I thought it necessary to resign in front of you. School board, I quit. I quit your policies. I quit your trainings. And I quit being a cog in a machine that tells me to push highly politicized agendas on our most vulnerable constituents, the children.
Clay, you know, this is somebody who clearly loves her job when
loves
she's actually allowed to do it the right way. Loves
yes.
teaching kids. And it's being taken from her. It's being taken from her by ideologues who listen to too much NPR and think MSNBC is actually news and probably triple mask alone in their pool at home. I mean, but that's what we're up against now.
The great flaw of America right now is the Democratic Party has allowed itself to be captured by identity politics and cancel culture. And that is the root of everything that they are advancing. And I believe those twin pillars are destroying America from the inside. And we have to destroy the concept of identity politics, which is part of CRT, that you are inextricably defined by what you look like at birth, that you don't have a choice except for your sex, which you can choose, by the way.
You, Clay, and your children are guilty of something you have not done because of what a framing of history suggests, according to the interpretation of people who today want power. And by the way, also never want themselves to have to suffer any ill consequences of the framework and the approach, the ideological brainwashing that they want to do to the rest of everybody.
Which is a great example. We talked about this maybe a month ago, or for people who remember, the Rachel Nichols ESPN story was a great metaphor because she said, wait, you can't take my thing, right? Everybody wants external blame to foist onto someone else. Oh, white men, they're responsible for everything. They're the reason that this country is such a dishonest and not equitable place. I mean, Buck, we're going to talk about this. I pulled this today because I couldn't even believe that it was real, but this is a natural outgrowth of CRT. The Oregon governor signed a law suspending the state's proficiency standards for reading, writing, and math in the name of equity. And they said they had suspended that proficiency requirements because the state needed to develop new graduation standards to benefit people of color who weren't testing high enough on the state exams. Reading, writing, and math.
Well, Clay,
we
see, this is the problem.
To test high.
You cannot have, as a central policy decision, whether it's in education or in admissions to colleges, you cannot have the abolition of meritocracy and then tell people they can't talk about the destruction of meritocracy, right? I mean, you can't actually do this. There's a cognitive dissonance at the heart of all this. I mean, when you look, and you mentioned the Oregon governor, is this really helping people? Is it helping people for them to be graduating from school without very basic skills? And we're talking about individuals here, young people who are going to be graduating with effectively a level of literacy that won't allow them to get through life and without being able to do basic math. But we're going to say they're high school graduates because that's going to equalize in society. That's actually not how it works.
And also, these are things that you can test, right? And this is what so fires me up about the entire anti-testing agenda is read a book, first of all. Actually study why the SAT and the ACT came to be. It was because Jewish students were being discriminated against getting into elite Ivy League schools. And so they said, hey, we got to figure out a way so that we're not just rewarding the same rich kids with admission. And so we want to be able to test in some way and apply an even standard to kids all over the country. And these baseline tests are not difficult, but we know, Buck, whether somebody's good at reading, writing, or math, you can objectively analyze skills right. And in those professions and in those tests.
The left today has a situation where they have to explain, how is it that the penniless parents of a Vietnamese immigrant who arrive in America, who talk about the greatness of this new American dream they have, who raised, their children to value education and to do their very best. They apply to Harvard, and this is actually making its way through the Supreme Court or up to the Supreme Court right now.
It's a monstrously important case.
They apply to Harvard and they're told, oh, I'm sorry, your skin color as an Asian immigrant to the United States doesn't get you, and not only does it not get you the same benefit as being black or Latino, it is actually held against that student in that process. And somehow that's not racist, Clay. Somehow that's not unfair. The left hasn't been able to figure out how to explain that, although they will try these days to say it is actually an outgrowth. The Asian student, the problem there, it's actually an outgrowth of white supremacy, to give you a sense of how crazy. Let's come back to this in a second, because we're just beginning to get into it. And I don't know, man. I mean, I love my pillow so much. I don't know if it's possible for you to love it as much as I do, but it's close, Clay.
Mike Lindell does an incredible job at MyPillow. He is just absolutely fighting for what he believes in on a day-to-day basis, and they have an incredible list of products. We've talked all about them. They started with pillows, but they got towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza dream sheets, as we've talked about a lot. Mike Lindell will get you a great night's sleep. It'll also hook you up with everything. And right now, he's got the sell of the year, Buck, on the Giza Dream Sheets. We have these on the beds in our house for both my wife, me, the kids, everybody. They are phenomenal, and the offer is absolutely fantastic.
All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee right now. And for a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets, which I have on my bed, they're the softest, best sheets I've ever owned, no question. The Giza Dream Sheets are 50% off, half price, folks. But you got to use promo code Clay and Buck. I've actually got now three pairs of Giza Dream Sheets because I just keep rotating them. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, go get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99 with code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. Again, that number is 800-792-3269. You'll find deep discounts on all other MyPillow products, too, when visiting MyPillow.com.
Welcome back in. We're rolling through the Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. There is a lot out there. We are going to be joined in the third hour of the program to talk about the current budget situation by Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. But in the meantime, we are soon to have a new governor in New York, and Joe Biden was asked about the situation now that Andrew Cuomo has resigned. And Biden said, what did he say? Well, he said Cuomo had done a hell of a job, and then he got called on it. Let's listen to both of these back-to-back in yesterday's White House press availability.
Thought he's done a hell of a job. Thought he's done a hell of a job. And, I mean, both on everything from access to voting to infrastructure to a whole range of things. That's why it's so sad.
Can you really say that he has done, quote, hell of a job if he's accused of sexually harassing women?
Look, you asked two different questions. They asked the substantive, should he remain as governor is one question. Did he do a good job on infrastructure? That was the question.
Clay.
He did.
The question was, how did he do as a governor?
No, the question was, correct me if I'm wrong.
How was he as a governor general?
Well, the governor generally, obviously.
Outside of his personal behavior.
Outside of his personal behavior. Okay.
But can you separate the two? Since
no, I'm not. I was asked a specific question.
Okay.
I'm trying to answer specifically.
Hey, look, you know, when journalists, alleged journalists, ask real questions, we got to say it. That is what was happening there for a second. It's kind of funny. But in Joe Biden's defense, Clay, if you see the video of him wandering off into the bushes after being directed by the Secret Service yesterday, is it even really clear that he knows what's going on at any point in time? I mean, if we're going to be fair, we got to be fair, right? Does Joe Biden know where he is or what time it is? I don't know.
I do know that probably his prepping, they were like, hey, don't refer to the governor who just resigned in disgrace for being accused of sexually harassing 11 different women, 9 of whom worked for him, and who also, by the way, killed, probably, or is at least partially responsible.
Well, his order was responsible.
Thousands and thousands of deaths. I don't know that I would call that a hell of a job.
You know, there's one thing, Clay, there's one other thing that didn't get any attention that I think people should remember, and that is another part of the Cuomo saga that was looming in the background. He had state troopers doing VIP COVID testing, driving samples to and from Albany and doing all this stuff for friends and family, basically. I mean, this is like third world dictator crap.
I think that's the question about whether or not Chris Cuomo ends up falling on his sword too over this entire process. Remember Cuomo, and look, you can criticize him. He's Chris Cuomo at CNN advising his brother, but he's been on vacation right now. He still hasn't been able to address any of this. And I think certainly his legitimacy, to the extent that CNN has any at all, is totally crushed going forward.
We'll have my friend Ned Ryan, the founder of American Majority. You see him on Fox all the time. He'll be joining us here in just a moment to talk about the budget, CRT. He's a Loudoun County guy, so he can really weigh in. But, you know, we got three family dogs, in fact. We have Lila the Cavapoo, we have Percy the Pomeranian, and we have Tallulah the Frenchie. And now we got all of them with Rough Greens. They absolutely love their Rough Greens. Now, it's very straightforward. This is just a supplement that you add to your dog's food. So now we've got three dogs that just got a little extra pep in their step. Their tummies are doing better because, you know, you don't want to have to clean up if the dog's stomach gets upset. So they're doing better as a result of Rough Greens because it has vitamins, probiotic enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants, plus it's 100% vegan. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog will love this thing that you just add into your dog's food. They'll have a special deal for you, our listeners, right now. Go to roughgreens.com, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/ClayandBuck. They'll give you the first bag free. That's roughgreens.com/ClayandBuck. Welcome back, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, Clay here with me, and our friend Ned Ryan joins now. He is the founder of American Majority. He's got a great new book out as well, The Adversaries, A Story of Boston and Bunker Hill. Ned, my friend, good to have you.
Yeah, no, good to be with you guys. Looking forward to it.
So you are a Loudoun County guy, right? You live right down around there. Clay and I have been talking a lot about how that was kind of the spark for a lot of the anti-CRT parent protests that have been going on, and now teachers are getting in on it. Can you just bring us up to speed on why did it happen in Loudoun, and where does it stand right now, the pushback against the CRT stuff?
Well, the pushback is coming in the form of a recall effort in which, you know, Ian Pryor has been doing amazing work. We've come alongside with American Majority Action, the C4, to do signature gathering. And we're going to go after, I believe it's 6 of the board members to get them recalled. Hopefully we'll go through the circuit court. We'll get a special election probably first of the year to be able to replace it. First of all, they'd be removed, then be replaced, and then we could go after and really put the right people in probably January, February of next year if things go well. But, no, I mean, Loudoun County, it is pretty surprising. Loudoun used to be one of the bastions of, you know, Republicanism. Obviously, those dynamics have changed over the last decade as more of the swamp has moved out. Into Western Loudoun. We're about an hour outside of D.C., but it's been pretty disappointing to watch. You know, we do about $1.5 billion in taxes towards the school system here in Loudoun County. And basically, the school board has told us to go pound sand. Take our money, go pound sand. We'll teach your kids whatever we want to teach them. You sit down and shut up. And a lot of us are saying we don't think so.
Ned, I think that's well said, and it's we're seeing something similar where I live in Williamson County, Tennessee, which is right outside Franklin Brentwood, the mask mandate battle. I was there. I spoke at the school board as a parent, and I know you're a parent as well. Why do you think there is this crystallization of anger, and it's coming at the ground roots level associated with school boards? What has made this happen? Because my argument is, this feels like the inception of a new Tea Party movement that's being led by a lot of parents out there who've just had enough.
Yeah, no, I think the thing that's encouraging too is that it goes across party lines. I mean,
yeah,
you know, when people are surveyed at the door, do you support or disagree with CRT? About 51% actually disagree with CRT. Only about 30% here in Loudoun County support it. Where you're getting the Democrats and independents, however, is the fact that the school board won't teach advanced math courses or other advanced courses. And a lot of Democrats and independents are going, hey, we didn't sign up for this. Like, we want the best opportunities for our kids. And so I'm encouraged that it is this grassroots groundswell. And I think part of it is the fact that everybody was at home over the last year, year and a half, going, wait a minute, what are they teaching my kids? What are they not teaching my kids? I get to see what's being taught on video. And all of a sudden it was like this clarity in which a lot of parents, again, across party lines said, hey, wait a minute, we're spending a lot of money on this. We're spending a lot of time and effort. These are our kids. This is our kids' future. And we didn't sign up for this. You're not going to do this anymore. And the school board's arrogance, and really just looking at the parents and going, we can do whatever we want, and parents are saying we don't think so. So my hope is that Loudoun County and other places, we're going to be able to demonstrate you can take out school board members, you can get the right people in, and hopefully people that are responsive to the parents' needs. I mean, this is the amazing thing to me about all of this, not only in school boards, but across the country with elected officials. Hey, I'm sorry, you're supposed to serve us. We have made you stewards of the money and the power given to you by the American people. We don't serve you, you serve us. So figure it out.
Ned, you know, it's amazing that you got this one teacher who said that he would not use the preferred pronouns because he felt it went against his religion.
That's right.
A judge, this is all, again, in Loudoun County, Virginia, everybody, the front line of this. It's across the country in a lot of places, but Loudoun County's gotten a lot of attention. And he said that he wouldn't go along with this. A judge reinstated him into his job after he got fired. And right. Now the school board is, or the district is fighting still to get him. I mean, that's how dedicated to this people, some of these, you know, authoritarian Democrat brainwashing cadres really are. Ned, I think people should know about this. I mean, they won't even give it up, even when a judge says, no, you really can't fire a teacher of good conscience over this.
I mean, there are a couple dynamics with this. First of all, they've been paying attention to the state and local level positions for a long time, much to our shame, because we haven't focused like we should have on school boards or city councils or county commissions. So they have a leg up on us because they have put a focus into it. But you're right. I mean, the thing that we have to remember, Buck, is this. For them, this is not a career. This is, they are religious zealots. This is for them a worldview in which they have to make sure that every idea is implemented to the absolute last end, because it is a belief, it is a system in which they will change the world. I mean, this is the whole basic premise of progressives, that we will actually use the state to advance progress so that someday we'll all reach nirvana or utopia. And if you don't like it, well, you know, you're part of the irredeemable deplorables. But this is the amazing part to me, again, the arrogance on display. And I hope that the American people across the country are going to rise up and say, we're done. We're going to run you out of office, not only at the state level and local level, but also at the federal level as well.
Amen. And speaking of the federal level, Ned, I know you are an expert in many ways on the budget. We had the crazy budget drama going on last night till four some odd in the morning. $3.5 trillion. What's going to happen? Is or are we going to see Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema put the skids on this $3.5 trillion or not? How would you handicap the budget as we sit today?
Well, you're always in a terrible position if you have to rely on Joe Manchin to be your backstop. That all to say, his comments, even in the last couple hours, have been, you know, should give us hope that he's not for this $3.5 trillion. He feels it's irresponsible. He feels like it will help inflation explode even more. So, boy, I got to tell you, I feel optimistic that Manchin and Sinema will toe the line and hopefully say enough's enough. I mean, this is the insane part. We went from a $1.2 trillion quote-unquote infrastructure bill, which is not infrastructure at all, to then literally in the next moment doing another $3.5 trillion, and we don't have the money. We're already $30 trillion in debt, and here we are spending money like drunken sailors. And at some point, we have to stop and go, we don't have the money or the resources to be able to do this. We're putting ourselves on a terrible trajectory.
Speaking of Ned Ryan, he's the founder of American Majority and also has a great new book out, The Adversaries, A Story of Boston and Bunker Hill. And
we're nerds. I'm actually curious about the book.
I have to tell Clay, we got to do News of the Day first. Then we'll do the history stuff.
I was so excited
to
hear about your book, Ned, because I'm a American history nerd. I know Buck is too, even though he sometimes pretends that he isn't. Tell me about the book, because I'm fascinated. I just finished, and a guy's name's going to escape me now, but he's doing a trilogy on the American Revolution, and I just finished the first one recently, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah. No, he did a great, I think it's Rick Atkins that you're referring to.
That's exactly right.
It's phenomenal, and that's more of historical nonfiction narrative, but I would highly recommend it as well. But no, The Adversaries, boy, it started with a fascination of Dr. Joseph Warren, who was a young protege of Sam Adams, young Harvard-educated doctor, who really in those last 9 or 10 months became one of the leading organizers in the political resistance against Parliament, against the King's ministers. He became president of the Provincial Congress, major general in the new army, but it became much more than that as I started doing research of really trying to understand why did Englishmen stop talking to each other and start shooting each other, because most of Massachusetts at the time was direct English lineage. And so it just is this last 9-10 months as things accelerate, as Englishmen on one side of the Atlantic realize we have these rights. We have sacrosanct rights that we believe were given to us by a transcendent creator. No earthly power gave them to us. No earthly power can revoke. And Parliament and the King's minister said, yeah, we think those are more a series of suggestions, and you're going to do what we want you to. You're going to pay your taxes. You're going to pay for the damage of the Boston Tea Party. And if you don't, we'll send more men, we'll send more warships until you actually submit and comply. And I think the thing that the overall arching theme of this is principled defiance in the face of authoritarianism. What do you actually believe about your rights? What are you willing to do to actually resist? And the founders of the Free American Republic didn't just wake up one morning and go, yeah, we don't like the English anymore, we're just going to stop obeying their laws. No, this was a principled, thought-out process in which they said, we have rights. We believe these rights to self-government, to elections, to property, all of these things are rights that we have a right to defend, but an obligation to defend. And so you see these things start to accelerate. And so it's the last 9-10 months before Bunker Hill, and then culminating with the Battle of Bunker Hill, and really revolves around truly somebody I believe to be a singular man, Dr. Joseph Warren.
Check out The Adversaries, A Story of Boston and Bunker Hill. I've got my copy at home. The author is Ned Ryan, our friend Ned. Mr. Ryan, always good to have you, buddy. Congrats on the book. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's get into some calls here. Clay and Buck want to talk some calls. I don't know why I just went third person there, but anyway, Buck wants to take calls.
You're becoming a big time celebrity now.
Yeah, we'll get into this in a minute. 800-282-2882. 800-282-2882. You know, the market, you may not have even seen this, but the Dow has been jumping up recently. And, you know, if you were invested, you might have actually gotten some nice upside here. But you got to know when to get in, when to get out, and what to be invested in, or else you could end up, you know, losing a lot of money. Plus, your current financial advisor or the most basic stuff out there,
That's not really going to do it for you. You've got to check out my friends at Carnivore Trading. Here's how it works. I sign up for Carnivore Trading. I get text message updates in real time about the trades they're going to make. They tell me we're going in for XYZ stock at this price. Here's the target. Get into it if you want. Now, you can always pass, but why would you? When you see the record these guys have, they're doing really well. It's that easy. It's like a financial advisor on your phone that's with you in real time. But they're just getting a subscription fee, folks. Okay. They're not actually trying to run up time on you. It's not like lawyers or something else. They want to help you make the best trades possible. Carnivore Trading, in fact, will let you see their trades for 2 weeks for free. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time. No obligation. Just go to getourtrades.com. That's the website, getourtrades.com. Use the promo code USA. That's getourtrades.com, promo code USA. Carnivore Trading, real trades, real time. See website for terms and conditions, and past performance is no guarantee of future earnings.
Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you to make sure that you don't miss a single minute. You can search us out, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton on social. You can go subscribe and rate the podcast. And you can sign up and become a 24/7 VIP. Lots of cool behind-the-scenes access that we are constantly providing for all of our VIP members. You can sign up at clayandbuck.com. A lot of you want to weigh in with a variety of different subjects as we've been rolling through the program here. Let's go to Dave in Hall, New York. I'm going to ask you guys to be fast, try to get several of you in here. What's up, Dave?
Well, I've been following this school issue for a long time, and as we would all agree, these schools are now just liberal indoctrination centers and social experiment stations. But one of the points that is salient is, why do people have their kids in these institutions? They're beyond fixable. They're evil, immoral. Even you two guys said you go to your school board meetings and you're pleading with them, take your kids out of there and put them.
Yeah, thanks.
As a Christian, I'm a jail chaplain and I'm a Christian. And we should have Christian schools in every community. And if we don't, you have the resources to put them in a private school or somewhere else, even if you don't want to homeschool.
I'm a product of Catholic school, so I would agree that some of those schools can do a great job. Thank you so much, Dave. And
a lot of people, Buck, just don't have the resources to be able to afford private
schools. That's right. And remember, and you're paying the taxes. You're paying the taxes for the public schools, especially based on where you live.
And Buck, you went to a school that doesn't require tuition. Fantastic job that they do in your...
Yeah, well, it's the only school for a second.
Yes.
Regis High School is the only high school like it in the country, which produces such great patriots. It says yours truly, and unfortunately, Dr. Fauci ruining America, also a Regis grad. But yeah, it's a free high school.
I'm a public school kid, and like a lot of our listeners out there, I went to public school K-12. There are a lot of people who just don't have the financial resources or the ability to be able to put their kids into other schools. And again, you're paying your tax dollars. I understand if you have the resources. One of my kids, we're fortunate enough to have him in private school. My eighth grader is in a private school. It's expensive. We have the resources to be able to do that. But a lot of parents, including, frankly, mine growing up, you had to rely on a lot of the public school options that you had. And that's why I think you have to go grassroots and fight as best you can in order to make that happen. Who's up next, Buck?
Let's get Will in Tallahassee, Florida. What's up, Will?
While wearing my mask the past year, I have high blood pressure. I'm on blood pressure medication. My blood pressure spiked up to 190 over 110. They couldn't figure out why. So the doctor said, take your mask off. Don't wear it for a little while. I went back 2 weeks later. It's at normal levels now. He wrote me a note and said, an excuse, said, you cannot wear this mask. It's causing your blood pressure to spike. It's causing it, which makes sense.
I just say this, Will, I believe that masks create, it does for me, especially when I was in the gym and trying to be
nervousness,
active.
Apprehension.
It creates anxiety. Creates anxiety, which is very hard for people to measure, but your blood pressure situation, Will, I think, is exactly that. Measuring it. Thank you for weighing in and telling us what you've had to deal with, and God bless. Mike in Jacksonville, a lot of Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. What's up, Mike?
Thanks for taking my call. Mega dittos, guys.
Mega dittos.
Hey, back to pushback, and when you see doctors put on the mask when the camera comes on, what are we supposed to do when the whole medical establishment decides to be complicit because they don't want to lose their jobs? I find myself losing trust in all of it.
Thank you for the call. I think that's big. And I don't just think it's medical professionals, although certainly they're important here. But there are a lot of people, and this is, I believe, again, why identity politics and cancel culture are the twin pillars of destruction of our society right now, in my mind. There are so many people, and this is why I'm thankful that we have this show every day, Buck, who can't say what they really think.
I got, Clay, I got a message today from somebody who works in a big hospital system here in the New York area that, and it's, I have to get vaxxed. I'm months away from retirement from, you know, from my job. If I don't get vaxxed, I lose my job and I lose my pension. What do I do? I mean,
yeah.
Those are some of the questions. Those
real
are the choices
questions
that are being forced on people right now. And oh, by the way, the person was already infected, already had COVID.
There's no doubt that these are the choices that many of our listeners and many people across the country are having to make. Jason in New Hampshire, we're trying to run through a bunch. What you got for us, Jason?
Hey, boys. Hey, so one thing I'd like to say is when I went down to my school board meeting a couple days ago, they said that they had to pass the handbook before the school year starts. And it made me think that, you know, a face covering is essentially a piece of clothing and it would fall under the dress code. And so I went and I looked up my dress code for my school, and my school dress code has absolutely nothing regarding face covering. So I'm kind of wondering, is that like a loophole that we can exploit to cut this crap out?
It's an interesting question. I'm not an expert in the New Hampshire school dress codes, but I would try to exploit any loophole you can. Scott in Florida, super fast for us.
And on the mandatory masking of K through 6 or whatever it was there, what do you think kids do when they're in the first, second, third grade? They like to swap things, and what's going to happen is some kid's going to show up with, oh, wow, you got a Spider-Man mask. I got a Batman. You want to trade?
And that's really funny.
Trading mask back and forth, which is just going to make it worse.
That's really funny. That's like school lunch. Remember every day, Buck, back in the day, somebody had the good dessert.
I always had the good potato chips because my mom loved me so much.
So much more than everybody else's. We are going to be joined by Senator Josh Hawley next. Should be a fantastic discussion. We're going to talk about the $3.5 trillion budget. We are going to talk about him wanting to put 100,000 more cops on the street. And also, he's a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan. So are they going to have a better offensive line this year? I'll ask him. This is thanks for hanging with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.